Greetings, friends, and welcome to Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue exploring the Philippian epistle written by the Apostle Paul when he was incarcerated in Rome in prison. Although his body is confined, his spirit is not. And he writes, and there is so much in the Philippian epistle about the mind. We've already on the broadcast explored the gospel mind, the humble mind, and with the help of the Lord today, we wish to delve into the devoted mind in the third chapter of the Philippian epistle. And then, Lord willing, on the next broadcast, the tranquil mind in chapter 4. In the third chapter of Philippians, the Apostle Paul speaks about his experience as a very devoted Jew. We read in verse 4 of the third chapter of Philippians, "Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I am more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." And then we'll explore later why he counted them loss for Christ. Now let's talk a little bit about Paul's experience under the law. He was exemplary in keeping the law. His very life began as subject to the law of Moses. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was an Israelite of that favored nation, of the descendants of Abraham, to whom God promised great blessing through his seed. He was a Benjamite, the youngest son of Jacob, and born of Jacob's favorite wife, Rachel. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He stood head and shoulder above his compatriots. He was a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Jews. He was a zealous Jew. He persecuted the church to no end, even to delivering to death some of those Christians whom he apprehended. He was blameless in his law observance, and I think I should I should speak of that a little. He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now you notice, please, he does not say sinless. He says blameless. No one could point a finger at the Apostle Paul. None of his compatriots, none of his peers could point a finger at him. But he, in the seventh chapter of Romans, reveals the fact that he realized that the law convicted him of sin because the law had said, "Thou shalt not covet." And this ambitious young Jew did covet places and covet perhaps glory that was not his. Now, we go on to say that he, in all of this, boasted of what he had by the law. The law did give him an opportunity of establishing his righteousness before his fellow people. But it did not bring him into high favor with God. Now, this is brought out in the third chapter of Romans. I think I should read that. Verse 19. The Apostle Paul writing there says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin." The sin, the law has a very, very valuable function. If we are really, very sincere about keeping the law will convict us of the fact that we're sinners. We do not love our Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And we do not love our neighbor as ourselves. Our own conscience tells us that, and the law will convict us of sin, and that was exactly what God intended that it should do. Now, the law was given as the secular law of the nation of Israel, if I may use the word secular when it comes from the hand of God. It corresponds, perhaps is the better way to say it, to our secular laws today. The nation of Israel was not a monarchy. It was not a democracy either, of course. It was a theocracy. God was its head, and he gave the laws that should govern their everyday experience. Now, those laws had to be perfect. They came from the hand of God. But they did not justify a person in the sight of God, as we read there in Romans 3 and 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, God's sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And Paul had to admit that he had broken the 10th commandment, that he had coveted. Now, in my own personal experience, I learned the law. I learned it by rote, by heart. And I tried to observe it as a young person. But I didn't have to go through the law to the 10th commandment before I was convicted of my guilt, but the Apostle Paul did. It gave him a righteousness before his compatriots, his peers, but it did not justify him. And he later admits that, as we're going to notice immediately, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Now, the law, the Ten Commandments, very obviously engages our attention to ourselves. It focuses our attention upon ourselves. But faith focuses our attention upon Christ, who endured the curse of the law when he hung on the cross, received the curse that the law would bring to us. He endured that, Galatians chapter 3. He endured that you and I might be delivered from the law and its curse. And the third chapter of Galatians tells us, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the law of the book of the law to do them. Now, Christ delivered us from the law and from sin's penalty by dying for us on the cross of Calvary. Now, he goes on to say, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, the righteousness that he had from the law, the reputation that he had, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, we read from the fourth chapter of the book of Romans that the moment that we trust in the Lord Jesus, believing that he died on that cross for our sins and that he did everything that was necessary to take us to heaven, the moment that we believe that, we're born again. And we are indeed righteous in the sight of God, but by an imputed righteousness, not our own righteousness. Our sins were imputed to Christ when he hung on that cross for you and me. They were reckoned to Christ. But his righteousness was imputed to you and to me, reckoned to you and me, the moment that we believed that he died for our sins, the moment that we made him our Savior. Now, this is the righteousness that fits us for heaven. This is the only righteousness that God can receive, can note, can be satisfied with. The righteousness that he imputes to us, the righteousness of Christ the moment we believe. This is the righteousness that fits us for heaven. Now, he goes on to say, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I don't work it up within myself. God permits me to have the righteousness of Christ. He puts that righteousness upon me, reckons it to me. And then he goes on to say, in a very positive note, in verse 10, that I may know him. This was his ambition. And I want you to think, too, of the fact that we are trying to develop the thought, the devoted mind. And I might as well read that now in verse 15, because this will emphasize it. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, or full grown, fully developed, be thus minded. Paul wanted the same devotion that he found toward the Lord Jesus to be implanted in the heart of these Philippians. And of course, through the preservation of the Philippian epistle, for you and for me. He wants us to be thus minded as he was. All right, let's explore his mind. Then he says, that I may know him. He was so enamored with Christ. When he saw that Christ died on the cross for him, he couldn't get enough of Christ. He was completely sold out to Christ, and he indeed wanted to know him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He says, I want that resurrection power in my life. And the fellowship of his sufferings, the Apostle Paul did suffer for Christ, and he says there's real fellowship in suffering for Christ. There was a real link between him and the Lord Jesus, who suffered so much for us and for his church. Now Paul says, in effect, I'm so glad that I can suffer for him. The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And there's more reality than we realize to this. Paul was constantly subject to death. He escaped it so many times. And then he goes on in verse 12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended also of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, laid hold of, the things that God gave him. But he says, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What are the things which are behind? His righteousness under the law, his reputation under the law, the aura, the glory that came to him as that young, energetic Jewish person sent to Damascus to apprehend the Christians on that very vital errand. He says, I want to forget it. Reaching forth for those things which are before, which are mine in Christ, which I have not yet claimed. Then he goes on, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just like the runner that he speaks of in Corinthians chapter 9. He's going all out. Paul was a very intense man. And he says, I'm going all out for Christ. This is what the gospel does for us. When we're born again, we have the life of Christ within us. We have the Spirit of God guiding us. We have his example to spur us on and to inspire us. And then he goes on to say, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be full grown, be fully developed, be thus minded along with me. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Paul says, I want you in this with me. Paul says, I'm not above you. Go on for Christ. Let his love inspire you and strive for the goal, even as he did in his intense life. What an example. This is the devoted mind. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we do pray that we might go on like Paul to know more and more of Christ, that he might fill our vision and our hearts. In Christ's name, amen.